I'm gonna start. I just started. Welcome back, my friends. Today, in the 24th installment in Awake, we're going to talk about what happens if you don't believe. Say you would like to believe, but you know, there's been a lot of disappointment over the last 1954 years. So many pious Jews have yearned for and anxiously awaited Mashiach. According to records we have, there were Jews who marched into the gas chambers singing Ani Maamin. And so people get demoralized. And they said, we've been waiting so long, can't believe it'll actually happen in our lifetime. Somehow by speaking about their children or their grandchildren's lifetime, it becomes perhaps more real because they've taken it out of their realm. What about somebody who's just like, you know, I don't want to hear about this Mashiach business. I want to serve God and go to heaven. Isn't that what the Jewish religion is about? Well, no, my friends. Actually, the Jewish religion is about doing what God wants, not serving yourself. And God wants a dwelling place right here. As our sages put it, Nisavu le'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God wants a dwelling place in our world. He wants his presence to be known, felt, and appreciated. So you say, well, if that's what he wants, make it happen. We wouldn't appreciate that. We take it for granted. Just like people who don't work for success, have it handed to them on a silver platter, never really appreciate the success they're privileged to enjoy. In order for us to appreciate the amazing new world that Mashiach is going to bring about, a world in which there will be Shleimut HaTorah V'HaMitzvah, as we discussed in so many of the previous episodes, perfect connection with God and awareness of our Creator that literally boggles the mind and stretches it to the extreme seams of its imagination. In order for us to reach that, we need to go through this long, difficult, and exilic process. And ultimately, we can't understand why Mashiach isn't here yet. And you listen, and you say, well, that's nice, but I just don't believe it. Well, here's the good news. You really do. You think you don't. And what's necessary is for us to reach deep into ourselves to discover the wellspring of faith that's always been there. Listen to this. It's an excerpt of an edited talk by the Rebbe. The year's 1988. It's Parshas Balak. And I quote, Gam mi shetayin, Rachmana Litzlan, even one who advances the suggestion or claims, She'enoi, he does not await the coming of Mashiach. It doesn't make him anxious at all. He could care less. Or even worse, afilu mishatoyin, one who makes the claim she'enoi maimin boi. He doesn't believe in Mashiach. It's a pipe dream, he says. Mashiach's never coming. I believe in God. I believe in Torah. I believe in mitzvot. I believe in the eternity of the soul. I believe in heaven. I just don't believe in Mashiach. Well, the Rebbe says, Be'emes, the truth is, he's rak merame es atzme, he's only fooling himself. And he said, Ernart zichalein, he's but fooling himself. There's an old Hasidic adage that when one fools themselves, they're just fooling a fool. And what's the accomplishment or achievement? The eminent psychiatrist and Rabbi Abraham Joshua Twersky of blessed memory related a story that as a child he didn't like to pray. Davening was not an activity that appealed to him. And his father tried to impress upon him the importance of davening, and he kind of paid it lip service and told his father, of course he would daven, sure, sure. And his father handed him a siddur, and he just sat there and turned pages. And after a couple of days, his father called him over and he says, why aren't you praying? And the boy said, no, I am praying. I've been praying. Didn't you see me turning the pages? The father said, bring me the siddur. He brought his father the siddur. And his father showed him that he had put a paper clip across the pages, holding the pages of davening in one place. He said, you're not fooling God. You're not fooling me. If anything, you're just fooling yourself. The Rebbe says, Anar tzich alein. Gam hu maimin bebi'as ha-Mashiach. If you are only a Jew and have a soul inside you, you believe in Mashiach. And not only do you believe in Mashiach, but deep down you are mechake libiyosi. You await his coming. How can the Rebbe be so sure? I mean, how can anybody be so sure? I've met people who told me with absolute certainty that they don't buy into this. The Rebbe said it's a psak din. It's a halachic ruling in Torah. And he sent us off to look in the book of Mishneh Torah from the Rambam, Maimonides' Codes, the book of matrimony, the laws of divorce. So Sefer Noshim, Hilchas Gedushin, and here's a fascinating, if chilling, halacha. Pedig Bey is the second chapter of these halachas. It's the 20th subsection. Mi shahadin notem. If there is somebody who the law legislates, shakeifin oisiligodesh, that he's got to be forced to divorce his wife. Maybe there's a situation of abuse. Maybe he or she's moved on in ways irreparable. Halacha ordains that this marriage has to be dissolved. But he doesn't want to give a divorce. Why not? There could be any number of reasons. Why not? Tragically, there are many, many women who are desperate to be freed and unfortunately have bad, bad husbands who won't give them a get. So what do you do when the halacha says the person's obligated to give a get? So the Rambam says, Bezdin shel Yisrael b'chol mokim u'b'chol zman. Then an ecclesiastical court of the Jewish people in every time and in every place. And that's significant because there are many halachot that are limited to the land of Israel, or a time when the ecclesiastical court was also a criminal court, which it hasn't been for a very long time. But this is applicable in every time and in every place. Makin oto ad sheyoma rotzani. He's beaten until he accedes to the demands of the court. In other words, he's simply forced to say yes. Now, this halacha is brought in the code of Jewish law in Shulchan Aruch, in Evan HaEzer, in chapter 134, although the Ramah says that it's not so simple to activate this, and coercion is not such a simple thing because of the complicated laws of Gerushin. But the Rambam says this is what you do, and actually the Mechaber, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, rules in like fashion. But the Rambam asks the obvious question. A little bit later on in the same paragraph, he says, V'loma lo batel getzeh. Why wouldn't this get be meaningless? After all, harei hu anos. He's being forced into this. And the Rambam answers, and he says, she'in oimrim anos, elolimi she'nichlatz, nilchatz, pardon me, v'nidchak la'asoyse, dover she'inichayev min hatoyda la'asoyse. When a person is forced to do something that he isn't morally, ethically, religiously, by God's dictate, obligated to do, for example, a person would be forced to make a sale but never wanted to make that sale, so then the sale isn't a sale, especially if he makes a disclaimer prior. Avomi shetakofa yitzroi, a person whose neshama, his soul, wants to do the right thing. Well, why doesn't he? Because he has an evil inclination, because he has a snarling, angry, selfish little animal self. And that doesn't want to do the right thing. And because his yetzara overpowers him, levatal mitzvah, to do away with the mitzvah, all worse. Not just a sin of omission, but lasot avera, to commit a sin. And then, circumstances were such that pressures were brought to bear until he did that which he's obligated to do. So the Rambam says, Ein ze onos, he's not being forced. Elohu onos atzmai, he is the one who forced himself. He coerced himself to do something unnatural. Now he's simply doing what he really wants to do. In other words, if Torah says that something is proper and correct, inherently, if we believe in neshama, if we believe in soul, that means that there's a part of us that wants to do that, because every one of us has a selfless, saintly, angelic side. It's called a soul, a neshama. And the neshama, the soul, wants to do what God wants. And the neshama believes in what Torah ordains. So you think you don't believe. You think you don't want to do the right thing, or you think you want to do something which contradicts the very purpose of your being, of your creation by God. Well, you think so, but it isn't really so. In other words, and here the Rebbe emphasizes these words, Ritzoinoi ha'amiti, the true will and desire shall call echad v'echad mi Yisrael, of every single member of Israel, the nation of Israel, is la'asot kol ha'mitzvais u'lehisrachek min avedes. That's a quote from Maimonides. The true will of each and every single ben u'bat Yisrael is to do what God wants, to perform that which is incumbent upon us, the mitzvot we were tasked with, and to distance ourselves from things that the Torah prohibits, because it's just the Yetzer Hara that's gotten in the way. You know, when it comes to bringing an offering, a korban, in the Beit HaMikdash, the animal offerings that are spoken of in the beginning of the book of Leviticus are something that has to be done willingly. As the Torah says, Im ola korbano, this is the beginning of Leviticus, chapter 1, verse 3. If the offering is an ascent offering, min habakor, if it comes from cattle, the Torah gives us details about this and says, yakrivenu el petach ohel moed, he should bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting. And then we hear, yakriv oto liritzono, he must bring it and it should be offered willingly. The Torah ordains an offering has to be brought willingly. Yet the Rambam, Maimonides, in the book of Avodah, service, referring to the activities of the Beit HaMikdash, in the laws of Maaseh HaKorbanos at the end of chapter 14, tells us that people who are obligated to bring a korban but for one reason or another seem to be reluctant, and their reticence is translating into real time. They're not showing up. They're not doing what they're supposed to. Mamashkin oisim, then we take collateral. Basically force them into doing it. And the Rambam himself asks, Afal pi she'ein miskaper loy ad she'yirtza, even though a person cannot obtain pardon from Hashem when he brings or she brings an offering until they do it willingly. Shenemer liritzono, it says, by your will. The Rambam says, that's not a problem. Simple solution. Kofin oto ad sheyomer rotzani. So then he's forced until he says, yes, I want to do this. In other words, once again, we see very clearly this concept that each and every one of us wants to do the right thing, and it's so profound, so real, that we can actually be forced into it. And when we're forced into doing the right thing, naturally, it's what we really wanted. The Rebbe maintained that each and every single member of Am Yisrael wants what is good and what is right. And so, inherently, we believe in the coming of Mashiach. Intrinsically, we know that there is a better tomorrow in the offing. Perhaps this is why so many Jewish people, even those unlettered, uneducated, distanced, unaffiliated, have always maintained an optimism in a better tomorrow, have always lived with hope. What kind of hope? They're not really sure. They're afraid to mention the name of God, but they always have hope. And they always somehow optimistically envision a better future. But of course, inherently, you know it is so. If you only have an neshama, your subconsciousness can see it. My friends, faith has to be nurtured, like all other good qualities. The more we study about the coming of Mashiach, the more we learn about how important it is to await his arrival, the more profoundly we will begin to experience the inner rhythm of our own faith, of our own belief in Hashem and in the perfect world that he will bring about through the ages of Mashiach. May it happen, b'mehera ubi'ameinu, speedily, and in our days, amen. Thank you so much for joining.